following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
And welcome to another edition of Corolla Classics. Happy Saturday. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Chris Loxamana, the executive producer of The Adam Carolla Show, along with Corolla archivist, superfan Giovanni.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning to you, Gio. We got some great clips to hold everyone over during this weekend. Now, if you're finding this show on the Adam Carolla Show feed, I invite you to check out Corolla Classics. It's a podcast. We will release another episode tomorrow, just like this, just clip shows of the best of the Adam Carolla Show throughout the last 10 years.
Every Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah. You didn't think you had the Adam Carolla Show over the weekend? You do now. So please enjoy these clips we're going to play for you. The first one from 2009, Adam and Joe Rogan sat down to talk about drug laws.
From Adam Carolla Show, episode 46. It's Joe Rogan's first appearance on the podcast. From October 14, 2009. It aired the following week. The former producers in the background. It's a completely non-thematic clip released today on 420. Enjoy, everybody.
You know, I understand speed, because speed kills, as the adage went, which is guys get beaked up on speed, and next thing you know, there's a guy standing at the foot of your bed with a meat cleaver. Nobody does that with mushrooms, weed, right, or sensory right. deprivation tanks. If there was a situation where, hey man, the guy got high and he broke into my house and he tried to rape my wife, well, then I would like that substance controlled.
Right.
But weed, all the things.
You know, that's how they got it passed in the first place. You know, that's how they made it illegal. They made it illegal saying that black people and Mexicans were smoking this new drug called marijuana and they were raping white women.
Right. It's really, historically, it's funny. It's like, you know, Tesla or you know, Tesla versus Edison or something. You just do this one experiment where you show the alternating current and something catch on fire, and everyone just goes, all right, well, fuck it, we're going the other way now. And case dismissed, and then 100 years later, it's still illegal.
Well, when Congress made marijuana illegal, they didn't even know they were outlawing hemp. They had no idea. They didn't understand that it was the same thing. That's why they attributed the name marijuana to it. It was originally, everybody knew it as hemp. I mean, that's what they made clothes on. Until 1850, when they came out with the cotton gin, they were making clothes with hemp. The reason why they stopped using hemp was because the cotton gin made it easier to process cotton, and then slavery made it less financially, it didn't make sense to process the pulp. It was too expensive. But then in 1933, they came out with a machine called a decorticator. And the decorticator rapidly processes the hemp pulp. The hemp fiber. And so they said, well, now we have a way to do hemp. Hemp's going to be the new crop. And there's a cover of Popular Science magazine that said, hemp, the new billion-dollar crop. Well, William Randolph Hearst did not want to switch all of his newspaper facilities or his factories over to paper that was made out of hemp. He had these wood mills. And so what he decided to do was to fight the business. He decided to print these articles in the paper, and him and Harry Anslinger conspired to create this paranoia about a drug, about marijuana, and about how Mexicans and blacks are raping them.
And by the way, you're talking about, as we talked about, 1933's marijuana, which was just leaves and shade. Stems and seeds. I mean, you wouldn't even catch a mild buzz off of that. I mean, think just the shit my mom was smoking in the 60s and 70s. You could barely catch a buzz.
I would like to go back in time, you know, and smoke some of Timothy Leary's weed and see what's up.
I think you'd have to definitely call him a lightweight, because
I'd give him one of these.
What about Thomas Jefferson
Washington. Well, who knows whether or not they actually smoked it. We know they grew it. But, like, the Declaration of Independence was written on hemp.
Well, the draft was.
I'm saying...
The original was on animals.
Those guys were, like, into snuff and smoking, you know, pipes and things like that. Believe me, somebody did the weed. They probably tried to smoke paprika, felt, pubic hair. I mean, I feel like
whatever, right?
They were pioneers in the smoking. Like, once the pipe was invented, it'd be like, well, see what other shit we can stuff in there.
Yeah, who knows? Totally, right?
I mean, if you think about, you know, as human beings, we figured out a way to eat lobsters. We figured out a way to do, you know, make jerky. I mean, we figured out a way to eat just about anything. We probably went through a lot of smoking experiments that went bad before we settled on tobacco and weed, right?
They must have definitely eaten it first, too, before they smoked it. You know, I mean, there's no way they started off smoking it.
Well, I just wish one politician would have the balls and the honesty to just go, look, who cares?
We're back. Chris and Gio here. And to continue this non-thematic show, our next guest, Doug Benson, was on the show in 2010.
He's on the show a lot. He's a regular, frequent guest of the show, one of the most recurring guests in the show's history. This is from episode 466. This is October 2010, about a year later. Actually, coincidentally, it was recorded exactly a year later after the last clip, both on October 14th. This has Jessica Golden filling in as tryout news girl, and Brian Bishop is there as well.
Yep, and every time Doug comes on, we have to play a round of Totally Topical TiVo Trivia today.
Tuesdays.
Enjoy Adam, Brian, Doug, Jessica debating the rankings of Pixar movies, and then playing a round of TTTTTTTTTT.
You want to play a little Totally Topical TiVo Trivia?
I would
trivia?
Love to.
All right.
Now, this is...
Is Cars your favorite Pixar movie?
It's my...
It would kind of have to be, right?
It's my son's favorite. That's the other thing that's great about Pixar. It's like, I don't even really have a favorite. They're all just
they
fucking
good. They are all
good,
but what's your The favorite? Incredibles is the best one.
No. You're wrong. Wall-E.
See, there you go. Like, Wall-E wouldn't be in my top three.
Wall-E was, like, their biggest risk, I think. You know,
right.
They took the biggest chance with that, and I think it paid off, but I just thought it was...
Incredibles was very...
It was a little too bleak
for my
taste.
And, like, Finding Nemo, like, where he gets into, you know, just that old part where, you know, he goes into the aquarium and has to try to escape, and how are they going to try to escape and clog the filter and all. It's just, it's kind of writing you don't see in action movies at all, or live action movies at all. Like, people should be studying that going, yes, that tracks. That's great writing.
It's a great feel-good pick-me-up, Finding Nemo.
Finding Nemo. All right. These are...
it's a presentation of Jeremiah Weed. Let's play Totally Topical TiVo Trivia Time today.
All right. These are actual... These are descriptions of TiVo movies. We've left out the celebrity. And you have to guess the movie based on the description that is given... Lifted right from the pages of TiVo. Doug is very good at this, and Bald Brian is excellent at
I've been
this.
Drinking.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
So, okay, I like it.
Excuses.
Although I had, I've won the last round of this, so here we go.
A ruthless TV network chief.
Brian. Scrooged.
From 1988, the booze is working.
Wow. Yeah, that's how good
that's
he is.
He is
impressive.
Ruthless.
Yeah. All right, now I'll start.
Ruthless and that's shit-faced. Sorry.
A social misfit with psychic powers wreaks
Adam.
Havoc.
Oh.
All right. Zapped.
Brian. Phenomenon.
At her prom.
Oh.
To get
damn
even.
It. Doug.
Damn
Doug.
It.
Carrie.
From 1976.
Fucking Zapped. Fucking Bayo bit me in the ass.
Following a night of wild partying.
Doug.
Brian.
Damn it. The Hangover.
Two strangers. Oh, Brian.
No, I said damn it, not my name.
Two strangers awake to find that they have married.
Brian. What Happens in Vegas.
From 2008.
Wow.
Speaking
so
of things that are awful.
Speaking of damn.
Yeah, they should have watched a couple Pixar movies.
Crazy bad.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of that crap.
All right.
living with his destitute mother, a young man in Detroit.
Brian.
Adam. Shit.
Jessica. 8 Mile.
8 Mile.
From 2002.
Damn it. All right, now what's Brian have?
That's
three.
That's funny, the destitute mother. Like, that's not what that movie's about at all. Really.
I know.
Like, I guess she...
Kim Basinger looks like such a
so
destitute.
Leave
look
with
at her.
Yeah.
Showing signs of a dormant family trait, a college freshman...
Brian. Ooh, Teen Wolf 2?
From 1987.
Oh, it was a boxer. It was Jason Bateman. He was a boxer.
Mark on that
wow, I never saw that.
He was a boxer.
Unbelievable run. All right, first to five. Here we go.
A curmudgeon.
Jessica. Scrooged. Want to try again.
Living atop Mount Crumpet.
Doug. How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
From 2000.
Oh, wow, nice. Yeah, all right, great.
A reporter befriends a mentally ill...
Adam.
Oh.
That Robert Downey Jr. movie that nobody saw.
Damn it.
Play cello. Playlist.
Oh, you're just making it easier
all right,
for
what
me.
Is it,
the soloist.
The soloist.
Yes, it is the soloist. 2009.
So what's Doug have? Three?
Yeah.
Three.
Rain over me.
Brian has four.
It's anyone's game.
Yeah.
A restaurateur falls into an affair.
Brian. Oh, this is an obscure big night.
With her remarried ex-husband.
While Adam. Oceans 11.
Doug,
11.
Doug.
Oceans 11. Oh, that Julia Roberts thing.
Did I get in before Jessica?
Doug?
It's complicated.
From 2009.
Oh,
it's wow. complicated.
Furious comeback, Doug.
Now 4-4?
That's impressive.
Yes. All right.
The first manned flight to Mars is
Jessica. Men in Black.
Is a flop. So a space official fakes it Hollywood style.
Adam. Capricorn 1.
From 1978.
Wow.
I should get three for that.
I knew it. I just didn't know it was Mars. Mars is what threw me off.
I thought it was the moon.
Strong.
Yeah. I knew I wouldn't get it.
Good
so
draw.
Give it a chance.
Thank you for getting it for Doug.
Well, it had O.J. Simpson in it. Look at that cast.
A wrongly convicted parolee on a flight.
Doug. Passenger 57.
With a group.
Adam. Snakes on a Plane.
With a group of vicious prisoners.
Brian.
God damn it.
Con Air.
Oh, 1997, oh, Con Air. Oh, Brian, no. The first of five.
Nicely done, Brian.
I didn't get that one. I didn't get that one like many years ago when I was doing that Craig Kilborn show. And, you know, he would do that like three questions or something with the guest, or five or whatever it was. And he did a thing with me where he went, this is the most popular Japanese compact car. And I was like, Tercel. He's like, no. And I was like, Camry. And he's like, Toyota Compact, best selling on the planet. And I was like, Tercel? Like, no, you idiot, Corolla. It's Corolla. You're Adam Corolla. That's why we wrote. That's why we did it. And I was like, it was too in my face to do it. That's what just happened to me in Con Air.
Sayonara.
Con Air, tune in for more totally topical TiVo trivia time tomorrow or Tuesday.
Yeah.
Thanks to Jeremiah Weed.
Thank you. Wow, that was pathetic. Doug, nice run. Jessica.
Yeah, I was
horrible,
on my
but you're
way
hot,
there.
So what do you care? Brian, nice win.
Can we play Who Has a Vagina next?
Mm-hmm. I'm back, baby.
Yeah.
You just lost a guy with a brain tumor.
That was nice.
That's true.
I have my own thing going on with my brain.
Yeah, Doug doesn't have a full brain.
Hey, I wasn't
I
won't born.
I'll be proud if it's complicated until I'm dead. That was a... amazing pull.
And I'm going to use Capricorn 1 like a 12-round fight where I got my ass kicked, but somewhere around the 9th round landed a huge uppercut. Just one punch, buckled the guy's knees a little, and then got back to getting my ass kicked. I can kind of claim that I got in one good shot.
And we're back. Chris and Gio here with some more Corolla Classic highlight clips for you. This next one featuring Harland Williams from 2009.
Yep, this is episode 179 of the Adam Carolla Show. Original format, the one-on-one format. And Harland Williams returns for his third appearance. Adam attempts to get him to do some of his recurring bits and some noises, and he ends up turning the tables on Adam, which I love. It's a really fun chunk of the episode, something people probably haven't heard since it originally aired. Felt really nice to pull it out of the archive and share it with everybody.
Harland Williams doing birds.
Sometimes.
Dear, 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 dear friend Harland Williams.
Deer? You said deer four times. That's a herd of deer.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm a herd, like a herd of deer-sized friend.
Yeah, you really are that size of friend.
Thanks, bud.
You ever shoot a deer?
No, I don't like hunting.
But you're from Canada, right?
I know, but they say, you know, hunting's a sport, right?
Right.
But so is bowling. So why not have a bowling team hanging over your fireplace? Like Skip and Eddie and Johnny.
Just
and
their heads?
Just their heads and maybe their curled up fingers. Like, the, you know, when they curl their fingers up to put their fingers in the ball?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just their fingers and their heads and their collars of their shirts.
You'd be like stuff and mount Eddie?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd mount them, but I'd stuff them. Yeah.
Okay.
Hanging over your fireplace.
Yeah, stuff and mount probably. They should come up with something different for that.
Sounds like the sequel to Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Stuff and mount.
Stuff and mount.
From the people that brought you Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon comes Stuff and mount. Starring Harland Williams. And I always like when they know, when you know you're not going to recognize the next name, International. So they should replace International Superstar, International Kung Fu Star with no one's fucking heard of, and then just put the guy's name in there. Because there's never an international whatever star. That just means you should know.
What if he was a waiter at the International House of Pancakes?
Starring International House of Pancakes.
Waiter. Timmy Smith.
Ungdal
Bungai.
What do we call it? Stuff and Mount?
Stuff and Mount.
I like that. Also, it'd be a good cop buddy show from the 80s.
Yeah, Stuff and Mount.
Big black sergeant. Stuff! Mount! My office! Now!
Yeah.
And he's yelling, he's doing the thing where he's yelling at Mount. You know what I mean? Mount!
Yeah.
You don't get to play by your own rules. We got a rule book here. You need to start going about it. I'm going to lift your shield. And then at a certain point, he's yelling at Mount, but Stuff starts chuckling a little. And then he starts, you eyeball me? And he starts yelling at Stuff, too. You think this is fun as Stuff?
I think you're auditioning for the role of Captain right now.
Yeah.
That was way too much. You put so much on that, like you wanted something out of that.
Stuff and Mount.
You want
like
that role.
Custom Gran Torino.
Wait a minute. Have you ever shot anything?
Have I ever shot? Oh, you mean...
Hunting?
No. My dad was a huge outdoorsman.
Did he kill stuff?
Are you fucking high? He never left the house.
What was he, a sniper then? When did he shoot from the upstairs window?
Listen, my dad would kill himself with an unloaded gun. Like, he's that clumsy. You would never want my dad handling a firearm.
I don't know. Maybe I would. I don't think you should pull me out of why are you picking your teeth so much?
I ate potato chips and I got them stuck on my teeth.
Yeah, but potato chips dissolve. They're not like beef where they sit there.
All and right,
enzyme.
It'll dissolve. The point is I have never shot at a living thing. I had a BB gun.
Okay.
A long time ago, and I probably shot like a bird or something.
So but you have killed.
I don't think I killed.
Well,
I don't think I killed.
A BB to a sparrow is like a cannonball to a human. So I think it's safe to say you shot the crap out of that little sucker.
Yeah, I saw some feathers flying, but I've been shot. Let's put it this way: I've been shot more with BB guns than I've shot other things with BB guns.
Yeah, but you're 20 billion times the size of a chickadee. Like, that's like saying, you know...
What would a sparrow sound like, by the way?
Sparrows, everyone knows that.
Well, then, like, what would a macaw sound like? And then, like, what would, like, a turkey vulture sound like?
Oh, those have a high-pitched screel.
Uh-huh.
Like,
really?
Yeah. You've never... They're the ones with the pink heads.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, turkey is a bird, right?
Yeah.
You know, I know, like... What I'm saying is they have, like, tiger sharks.
Right.
You know, that's a land animal, and then you mix it with a shark.
Sure.
But this is bird on bird. You know what
right.
I mean? It shouldn't be a turkey vulture. It should be, like, a hippo vulture or something like that. You know, we already got a bird.
Yeah, that's
you know what
true.
I'm saying?
That's true, but...
So, I've never shot anything. Now, I've fired a lot of stuff. I've fired a lot of shotguns and you know, big caliber, you know, magnums and, you know, like John Wayne autographed magnums and shit like that.
Why?
Because in my TV travels, I tried out for the Hawthorne SWAT team, and I fired like a MAC-10 machine gun, and I fired a shotgun, by the way, with a slug in it, like a huge...
That won't
marble.
Hurt anybody.
Yeah,
they're so soft, they just crawl around and eat vegetation.
Like, no, no, not that kind of slug.
Oh.
This
I thought
like
you said you
round.
Shot a slug at someone.
No, like a musket ball.
Well, why'd you say a slug?
Oh, they call it a slug.
They're very pliable
this one,
and they're
this
soft.
This one comes, it comes in a shotgun shell, but it would shoot through like an engine block.
Oh,
huge,
my God.
Huge kick on the thing. Yeah, massive kick. And so shot all the pistols and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But that was it.
You're like a Terminator type of fella.
Yeah, yeah. It was fun. I had a good time.
You know
what would
be nice this year if you came by the house for Thanksgiving with your family and I made a nice 40-pound turkey vulture? What?
I don't know. I don't know why you can't eat turkey vultures, but you can eat turkeys.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This year, let's have even the Grinch himself carve the roast beast type of event.
Right.
Where I'll cook up a nice turkey vulture.
I wonder if a turkey ever died and a bunch of turkey vultures circled over it.
Ooh.
Remember when you were growing up in movies, that would be the sign when the guy got trapped in the desert?
Yeah.
You'd see the vultures circling over him.
And there'd be two always sitting on a branch talking.
Yeah.
But what people really didn't take into account is that trees don't grow in the desert, so how is there a dead tree?
It would be dead, but it would be still growing. Like, yeah.
There's no trees
that's the point.
In the desert.
But it would be like, it'd be a ponderosa pine that was dead. But the tree never would have grown there because there's nothing but sand
right.
as far as you can. That's why the guy's dying.
Right. It's all fake.
Water.
Water. Water. Salt water.
No, just say water.
Water. Yeah. They swirl around in a circle. And in North America, we have the vultures fly in a V shape. Have you ever looked up and seen that in the fall?
Circling in a V?
Well, I think they fly south. In a V shape when they sense carrion.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't...
Well, every bird has its patterns.
I know.
Flock around in a circle, and here in North America, the Canadian geese will spot a dead person and form a V and fly south.
I don't think that's what they do.
I've seen it, so if you're going to...
What do you got over there in Canada? You have geese?
We have Canadian geese. I just said
that's
it.
That's about it?
They're the ones that came in here and took down the...
Sully's
the
plane?
Sully's plane, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Canadian geese are angry.
Yeah. I think they're pissed about the acid rain.
What happened to that? Remember?
I don't know.
That was like the big... Every news story was acid rain, and then global warming knocked it out.
It's so weird. Like it was like 10, 15 years ago, it was like all the acid rain we're sending over to Canada.
Yeah.
And then that went away.
Yeah.
And then killer mold showed up.
Oh.
At some point, there was pit bull attacks.
Yeah.
In there. Pit bulls were killing everyone.
Yeah.
And now it's global warming.
Yeah.
And we're even kind of done with global warming, by the way.
What are we into now?
the next thing.
Yeah.
I would say beef gas. I would say methane produced from beef.
Beef gas?
Yeah.
Cow
farts destroying the ozone.
Really?
Yeah. People have no idea. Well, look at you. You're 185 pounds, right?
Yeah, thanks.
And think how much you fart.
I haven't done it yet.
No, but I mean in general.
No, I haven't. I've never done one. It's weird.
Oh, yeah, I'm just... Oh, you mean today?
No, ever. It's bizarre.
You've never farted in your life?
Never. Sometimes I even try at night. Like, I'll push.
And nothing?
Nothing. I'll eat a can of beans and a canister of ranch-style Pringles.
Uh-huh.
And I'll just grunt and push, and I'll put my butt up against my neighbor's fence. They have a knot hole in it.
Right.
And I'll put it right there. And
uh-huh.
Just push against that fence.
You call it a knot hole. Your neighbor calls it a glory hole, by the way.
Oh, I wondered.
A little
it
different.
Felt like someone was pushing back.
Yeah, well, you push, and they're going to push back. But here's the thing. So, 43 years of age.
Yeah.
Never farted once in your life.
Well, come on, of you. It's not polite.
I farted once at sleepaway camp.
Sleepaway?
Yeah.
What the hell does that mean?
That's what we say.
Sleepaway?
Well, you know how we say ninth grade and you guys say grade nine?
Yeah.
That's how we say sleepaway camp.
Sleepaway?
Well, I don't know how you Canucks say
it. Called a sleepover.
Sleepover camp?
No, what's the camp thing?
Well, when you go to camp, I'm obviously lying, I never went to camp, but it would have required some money or some effort, but... Going to camp, they have sleepover camp where you go there for like 2 weeks, and it's like
a camp where you learn how to sleep over.
No, you sleep over. Did you not see Meatballs?
Well, at camp you go and you learn canoeing and axe throwing and whistling, but you don't learn sleeping skills.
No, that's what you do in between your lanyard-making classes and softball games.
Well, why wouldn't it just be called summer camp or wolf cub camp?
It is, but then you sleep there.
That's got a very lazy connotation
maybe
to
it's
it.
Summer. Maybe it's just summer camp.
I don't know. Screwed. Like, the camp...
Do the Canadians say holiday? We're going on holiday?
Yeah.
I like that.
That's weird. And, in the same continent, we say vacation.
I like that better than vacation.
Holiday sounds more cheery.
Well, first off, we're going on vacation, which means we're just vacating our premises.
Yeah.
Like, it's like maybe the house is being tented for fumigation. We're vacating.
Maybe someone farted in the house.
Yeah, we're not you, but no, the idea is like what we're doing is we're leaving.
You're vacating.
We're not necessarily having a good time. We're just vacating.
Right, but in Canada,
you're having a good time.
We rang a gong for a holiday.
You're going on a holiday.
Yeah.
You're for sure going to have fun. We're just vacating.
So you've only been on vacation. You've never ring-ranged a gong for a holiday?
We're essentially doing what we did to Japanese Americans around World War II.
Oh, internment camps?
Well, we're just telling them, pick up and vacate.
There's always room at an internment camp. It's not like you have to worry about getting a room.
I would shun the vacation, that's what I'd say, and I would pick up. On the holiday. Yes, we're on holiday.
Well, see,
it's a mandate to have fun.
But this is the beauty of the English language. You can switch these words around. If you want to say holiday, my son, say it.
I'm going to say it.
You don't have to say... By the way, did you know that the spelling of the word dyslexic is the reason people are dyslexic?
Really?
Well, spell it.
Uh-oh. D-I... S. Is my right so far?
No, it's got. You should see the letters. It's D X Y S. It's the most crazy. Someone put it up on the. Look at that.
Yeah.
D Y S L.
Yeah.
No, that's dyslexia. Just put dyslexic.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't spell anything.
That's why people can't spell right because of that word.
Yeah. Donnie has a form of dyslexia called being stupid.
Uh-oh.
But he just calls it a form of dyslexia.
Hey, I resent that. You know, at least I got the full version of my high school diploma. You walked away with the pocket diploma.
I didn't get a whole diploma.
I don't know if I like this name calling.
I got a little pocket one. I got a little laminated one.
What, a diploma? Like a Blockbuster video card?
I barely graduated from high school, yeah. And I didn't find out I was going to graduate until the second to last day of high school, because I'd failed a few classes, you know?
Oh, no. What was your worst class? Probably English?
Well, yeah, I'd have to say, well, I failed biology in the 10th grade.
Okay.
And I'm the only person I know... who was a ceramics major in high school who failed driver's ed. Not driver's training, but driver's ed. Not failed
Wait,
the test.
You took ceramics?
I took ceramics. I was a major in ceramics.
So you probably acted out that scene where...
In Ghost?
Yeah.
Yeah, but with a dude, yeah.
With a dude?
Well, oh. Yeah.
So you sat at your wheel naked... And had a guy that looked like Swayze come up behind you and
no.
rub your shoulders.
No. That's gay. No, I came up behind him.
You came, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like you did with the knot hole.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the glory hole. The point is I didn't find out I was going to graduate until the second to last day. And I owed the book room money.
Oh.
See, they would check you out books.
Yeah.
And then I wouldn't return them.
Why not?
As I was a horrible student, and I was just stupid and lazy. And
well, wait a minute. If you're a horrible student, if I'm solving a mystery here, a horrible student would not even make the effort to take out books.
Well, you had to take them out. Like, when you'd go to history, when you take a history class,
yeah,
they'd give you a book. And then you'd fill out a book card. And you'd have to write the condition of the book, A condition, B condition, and then they would go nuts about covering it with a paper bag. So always cover that book. We're idiots over here. Half the shit. The only thing I learned in high school and in junior high is how to cover a book with a shopping bag.
Oh.
And I couldn't even figure that one out very well. But people make book covers, so the cover wouldn't get screwed up.
Well, that could have come in handy later, because you're always over at the liquor store getting that single can of Tall Boy beer, and you put the paper bag, and it kind of came in handy, sort of.
Yeah, if you're going to be a hobo, it would pay dividends. But
now, wait a minute. What was your best course if English was your worst? And biology.
No, you said English was my word.
I twisted it. But it's biology. What was your best?
I'm the only person I know took high school math for 3 semesters or 6 semesters. I never took algebra. I never took algebra in junior high or high school. I never got past math class. So that's how dumb I am.
Oh, no. Have you ever thrown an isosceles triangle into somebody's thorax?
No, I don't know what either one of those words means, because I failed anatomy. And, or I should say biology, and I also failed, I never took geometry, and I never took
isosceles
algebra.
Triangles are like triangular rulers.
Yeah, they look like ones that aren't pyramids.
Yeah, and you can throw them like karate stars, and if you hit someone right in the thorax, which is right in the throat, you can, in essence, almost sever their carotid artery and take them out.
Really?
Which makes math fun again.
Yeah, well, I wish I'd made it out of just regular math class. I took high school math.
High school math. Here's something that I learned about throats, too. You've seen people with the tracheotomy holes.
Mm-hmm.
I did a little research, and tracheotomy is a Latin word meaning land dolphin.
Really?
And it turns out that people with those holes are actually a rare species of land dolphin.
What
are their blowholes, I guess.
What would they sound like?
Well, you've heard them talk. They're like...
No, I don't mean the guy with the tracheotomy. I mean a land dolphin.
You love animal noises. Why don't you ever do any?
I can't do any.
Well, have you tried?
Not in a while, no.
What about a wolverine? Can you do that?
Wolverine would sound like a wolf, right?
No.
No?
Wolverine's a member of the weasel family, I believe.
Yeah. Are they like badgers?
They're like that family.
Like angry badgers?
Yeah. You could do that easily. I won't put you on the spot, because I can see your eyes filling up with fear and timidness. But maybe next time have something prepared for me.
Okay. Yeah. The only thing I can do is...
Oh, Oh, that's like a fart noise. Yeah,
I don't even know what that is.
You know what I learned about the animal kingdom, which is interesting? You know, porcupines are the only animals in the world that, you know how women give birth in water to make the birth smoother and less painful?
Yeah.
Porcupines waddle into the ocean and lay their eggs. Have you ever seen a sea urchin? These are little porcupine eggs,
and
they go underwater, so it doesn't hurt their vaginas.
No, I failed.
Because the prickles come out of their vaginas.
I failed biology, but even I know that. No.
I think as the guest, you should give me that.
And what Donnie was saying is the reason I don't have my actual diploma is because I owed the book room $19.
Oh, stiffy, huh?
Yeah, and they said, they got smart with me. They said, hey, man, you owe us $19. And I was like, T.S., school's out for summer.
Wait.
Just like Alice Cooper would say.
What's T.S.?
Tough shit.
Oh,
I've graduated. I'm going on to a lucrative career cleaning carpets. So the joke's on you. And they said, no, if you don't pay us the $19 you owe us, you're not going to get your diploma. And I made a strategic call right at that point, which was I don't need my diploma because I'm not going to college.
And you've got all the books, so you've got everything you need.
I got
to
We
know.
The People at home.
Yeah.
And by the way, they don't ask to see your diploma when you either clean carpets or dig ditches for a living. So who cares? And I've never had a job my entire life where they asked if I had a high school diploma.
Yeah.
No, I mean, if you went from, you know, working at McDonald's, working at a liquor store, cleaning carpets.
You worked at McDonald's?
Yeah.
No way.
Yes way.
I love Scottish food. What did you do there? Were you the milkshake guy or?
No, I was the grill guy.
Oh my God! When they had grills. Now it's microwaves, right?
No, they still have the grills. It was a big griddle.
They don't have them anymore.
Big griddle.
Yeah.
And I used that, and I was mostly the sweep and a mop guy.
Oh, so you were the janitor that cooked part-time?
I would be behind the grill.
Sweeping.
And I would be making my burgers behind the grill, and I would say, cheese count on max, please. And they'd say, cheese 3, please.
Oh.
And I would say, thank you. And then I would say, burgers up, wrap, please. And that's why I put the tray of burgers up on the counter. And then they came. They didn't let me work the register. I guess they figured I wasn't bright enough for that. And then when we had a little downtime, they would tell me to do a sweep and a mop of the dining area. So I would have to go up there and sweep around everyone's feet, you know, while they were eating and stuff.
Ooh,
and
then gross. I hate that.
And then I would.
It's like I'm eating my burger and some kind of lowlife like you comes along with a mop full of pneumonia and Ebola, and I'm trying to eat my fries.
Yeah. So I would do a sweep and a mop of the. I would sweep and mop and work the grill. So I was kind of low man on the totem pole. I didn't get up front.
Where
the shakes or the fries. It could not be seen by the public.
Well, I got a couple of things that you might be interested in here. The drive through. This is an incredible new thing.
We didn't have a drive through.
Well, I know, but now we're in modern days.
Yeah.
And this is for your listeners to try. This is wonderful. Don't pick.
I'm sorry, my tooth had so. Yeah.
This is a wonderful treat. What you do is you go up to the drive through and you order your food at the speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And in that time that you're driving around to the window, what you do is you pull down your pants and stick your bottom out the window and put a $10 bill in your ass crack.
Yeah.
And you always get your food free that way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Always. I did we did a version of that, you know, before.
Oh, you did?
I did, yeah.
How about In-N-Out Burger? Have you been to that drive-thru?
Oh, yeah.
Well, what they have is you can order the special things that aren't on the menu. Like you can get it animal style.
Yeah.
Or protein style. And the new one, they got this doggy style one where you you just go at it with the drive-thru kid.
Really?
You're driving through.
You
put a bun on the back of their head.
I don't like the idea that there's some sort of secret handshake over there that I'm not in on.
Try the doggy style. That one, I think I might change your mind.
I got to tell you.
bend them right through the drive-through window and put an onion on the back of their head and some lettuce.
Doggy style ends, if it ends in the protein style.
That's bad times. Come on, guy.
That's a bad sign.
Let's not.
I love In-N-Out, but yeah. I don't like the idea that they have their own little secret fraternity over there of stuff that's not on the menu that I'm not getting because I haven't loaded.
You don't like secrets.
That's right.
Have you ever used secret underarm deodorant?
I always use it.
Well then,
I use chick deodorant. Donnie's out again.
What's the elbow meat?
Elbow meat?
Yeah.
Oh, that's something I learned. Elbow meat, if you feel your elbow, you feel the meat, there's a little tuft of meat right on the end of your elbow, right there. And I learned that it's the exact same texture as an 86-year-old woman's nipple.
Really?
Wow. And I also learned that cauliflower is just scared broccoli.
Scared it white?
Yeah.
Scared all the green?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe broccoli's just envious cauliflower.
That could be the thing, too.
Uh-huh. So you're saying now, have you studied this in the lab?
Yeah, well, not in the lab, but at seniors' homes, if you go over there... Uh-huh. You can grab a old woman's nipple and then with your other hand grab your elbow. Well, that's kind of impossible, but...
Right, right.
But you grab one for 30 seconds and then grab the other on there. You can't... If you put a blindfold on, you can't tell the difference.
Really?
Yeah.
So you would go into a senior's home with a blindfold on?
Yeah, and feel around. And the only way you really knew the difference was the screaming. When you hit an old lady, there was usually a screech or a noise or a stroke. But with your own elbow, it's just soft, pleasant groans, I guess.
Yeah, you know, the ladies outlive the men, so there's plenty of, you know, there's...
Is that right?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Ladies outlive men?
Well, I mean, look at
what?
It. You didn't know
but
that?
We do all the work. That's not fair.
That's why. Well, seriously... A lot of guys marry people that are 5-10 years younger than they are, right?
Oh, that's true.
A lot of men. No,
is your wife younger than you?
She's 5 years younger.
5 years, that's not bad.
So you do that.
You can still sort of relate to her a little?
We don't talk, but... But 5 years mixed with the fact that I'm going to die 10 years before her gives her an extra 15 years.
Well, I'm going to live to be 103. I did that thing on the internet. You know, when you go to sign in for your emails and that guy pops up and says, when are you going to die?
Oh, really?
So I can, with confidence, I now know I've got till 103.
I wonder if anyone's ever been killed while filling out one of those things.
Ooh, what if it said,
Like just car's emergency brake went bad and crashed through their living room as they were calculating and figured out they'd live to 97, literally clipped by a bus that was run away.
So what if you clicked onto it and it was just a stopwatch and it was at 8, 7, 6, and you're like, wait, what?
What? No, non-smoker! Yeah. Yeah, so you were able to figure out you're going to be 103.
Yeah, not really. I just made that up for content.
All right, we're back with more highlights from The Adam Carolla Show. And I must remind you that if you would like to submit a request, one of your favorite moments that you remember from The Adam Carolla Show, tweet us at Giovanni Giorgio, at Chris Loxamana, or email us classics@adamcarolla.com. Let us know what you want to hear on Carolla Classics. This next clip is a listener request. At bcaspic1 on Twitter writes, "Love the classic show. Thank you very much. One of my favorite moments was with the great Howie Mandel when the subject of circumcision spawned a special character. The whole episode is great. There was a guest newsgirl who Howie had many questions for." What is he talking about, Gio?
This is a episode 1276 of the Adam Carolla Show. It was with Howie Mandel, Matt Achety, CA State Assemblyman Mike Gatto, and then Sid Wilder filling as newsgirl, and Brian Bishop, of course. It's from March of 2014. Adam references a story that Howie first told back on Loveline in 1998 regarding his son's bris and an unfortunate incident with their family dog. And it just kind of goes from there, and there's a character that's created, and they have to explain some stuff to Sid. It's a classic moment from the show.
Yeah, and if you missed Howie on the Adam Carolla Show this week, go back and listen, because he always kills it. Let's listen.
Well, you own a warehouse, even though there's nothing in it.
Nothing in it. So if you have things you want to store, I'm the man to call.
Howie told a story that I always tell about, I think, his son's bris. You're from Georgia. That's when a young Jewish boy gets his foreskin removed.
Oh, wow. Okay, wow. What a
circumcision.
Great moment.
Circumcision.
Okay. What a great moment.
Yeah, what a great moment. I mean, I'm sure you're really proud. Not for him, but I mean, for you. I mean, isn't it like it's a religious thing, right? You guys, everyone does it.
Yeah. You scream, "Oh God!" when
I mean,
and it's scary as shit. But I mean, it's tradition.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
So you're okay with that?
Yes. Yeah. When a young Jewish boy turns 24.
Yes.
Oh no way.
That's a little old.
Is it 3 weeks or what is it?
It's like 7 days. But here's the uh-huh. thing. So it's 7 days, and they have a ceremony where a rabbi or a moyel will come over, or a urologist will come over and slice the end off his penis.
Oh my gosh.
And tell you went to, oh my gosh, you went, it was fantastic.
Well, no, keep going.
But anyways, traditionally, I'll tell you this story, and then I'm gonna tell you another. So then traditionally, he puts it in a piece of gauze, and then you're supposed to give it back to the earth. So the father goes outside and digs a little hole in the garden and puts it in the hole in the garden, which I did, because I'm very traditional.
Good.
And a lot of people are at the house, and it's a party, but I didn't know that my dog went back out, dug it up, and then brought it back in and dropped it on the shoe of a guest. He said, "What's that?"
Oh,
and
my God.
Said, why we're here. That is why we're here.
That is hysterical.
I have a friend who, as you just mentioned, was 24 years old, married a Jewish girl, and decided to convert for her. Now, first.
Wow.
Yes.
Strong,
you see where this
woman
is going. Yeah. And, you know, they're very – and I don't know a lot about Catholicism or that, but there are honors given to people in – you know, if you're asked, I would imagine, to come up on the pulpit and speak or say something, that's an honor in the church. In the temple, in the Jewish – an honor if you go to a bris is to be asked while the moyel does this to hold the baby's legs. You know, sometimes
really?
It's the father-in-law will hold the baby and do that. Mm. The honor doesn't feel the same when the guy's 24.
It's true. Yeah, I'm not putting my beer down for that.
What was really funny is my friend had a bris, and you're from Georgia, and his wife is from Oklahoma.
Okay.
And it's actually my manager and his first son. They were going to have the bris, and all her sorority sisters flew out from Oklahoma. They had never I don't think they've been to a bris. I don't think they've been within a 10-mile radius of a Jew.
Probably not. Right.
Let alone. And then so we're all sitting and eating, and then you see the rabbi comes in, and they go, "Oh, it's about to start. It's about to start." Now, having been to these, if it's about to start, you kind of barely face it. You don't go to the front. They go, "Oh, it's about to start." They wanted to get good seats. So
right.
I saw all these young ladies, these sorority sisters, making their way to the front of the room.
Mm-hmm.
And you heard a prayer. And then I watched one particular blonde girl, because I just saw the blonde hair from the back, just kind of wipe like a windshield wiper just to the left and never came back. She
passed out
on the floor, cold.
Oh, my gosh.
You know,
hysterical.
But, and one of his friends said, "You know, Mike, you should feel very proud, because the first time your son's dick is out in public,
that's right.
a woman passes out."
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, swooning is nice at that tender age, especially. I got to say, like, I would make a horrible elder when these things were going down, you know, in conception. You know what I mean? Like, when all the guys with the beard sat around and the candles were lit and somebody said, you know, there should be a ceremony where we remove the foreskin.
We need a physical sign of the covenant with God.
You want to hear what I just
said? How about 5 push-ups?
No, it needs to be a little more permanent.
10 push-ups?
A little more meaningful.
Oh, I get it. All right, you prick your little finger there.
Well, you're onto something with the prick.
Yeah.
What are you saying?
It needs to be a little more of a sacrifice. You lose a part of yourself.
Let's say we dump out like a chalice of wine or something, like into the dirt. You know what I mean?
That's one idea.
Like a drop of blood.
I was thinking we'd cut off part of the cock.
At
a very, very young
age. So you go off into the woods and do this?
No. We would gather everyone in the village together.
To watch a guy get his cock cut off?
Not a guy. A baby. An infant. A newborn child.
You're a fucking weirdo. I'm out of here. Where's this is so amazing. Tent?
As somebody who, was born and raised a Jew, for you to bring me back to my roots and recreate this world. Now I understand my heritage, and I feel you can't see.
You know,
I have tears.
I know it's not going to make much of a sound because it's a tent with a flap on it, but I'm going to fucking slam that flap so hard. When I walk out, you're going to feel a whoosh.
There's going to be a
from that
slight breeze.
You're lucky no one's invented a door yet, or it would shake this tent down to its core.
Ooh, good one.
You should Google. You should Google. I was just reading that there. I was Googling in New York. There was a sect, a Jewish religious Hasidic sect, where they're stopping they're making the bris illegal in the way they do it. Google somebody Google it because I'd like to read. Apparently. He would, in this sect, say that he would suck the blood.
Oh, yeah. Heard about this.
Did you really hear about that?
I did. Yeah, yes. I heard about it.
So they would, it would be like a cut, I guess it's like a cut and a blow, like at a...
Yeah. Be a weird thing to walk
cut and suck.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Like as if the guy got bit by a snake or something.
No, but
like
they were finding some babies had herpes. Does anybody see that on Google? There was a sect, say, New York sect, Chris, is that it? What does it say? Baby dies of herpes in ritual circumcision by Orthodox Jews.
Oh, my gosh.
But then does it tell the story about what
yeah.
New York investigating the death of a...
It's got to be a weird one where, like, years from now, oh, yeah, our firstborn died of herpes. Pretty active in college. Yeah. No, he was a week old. Woo, that kid got around.
I think if you get it from a rabbi, it's considered herpes.
Herpes.
It's not so much herpes.
By the way, the only good thing about herpes is getting it from your sister.
Exactly.
You get it from a rabbi.
Why do you point at her? Did you get herpes from your sister?
No, I'm saying.
I didn't. No. There was like a lot of stuff about my sister earlier that you missed.
Yeah, a lot of sexual stuff. But the point is that's lose-lose when you get it from the rabbi.
Yeah, it really is.
But you know something? But I don't want to. I'm very proud to be Jewish. But I think they put a. This is a different article. I think they put a stop to which is a.
It's good. Yeah. Look,
with a cotton ball
in a town where they can limit the sodas to 16 ounces. I think sucking off the 7-year old can fall on some list somewhere too.
But I think circumcision is a good thing, don't you?
For seven months.
I think it's healthy. I don't like it when people think it's not healthy. I'm like it's very healthy.
Very healthy.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I am smegmaless.
There's a way you could
do you
say
know what
that
I just said. You're looking at me like, what did you say?
Yeah, I'm a little bit confused by that. Would you?
Why do you mean you? How can you be confused by that?
I'm just confused.
Because I'm circumcised.
Oh, is that the technical term for it?
What?
No, the smegma is something else.
What is that?
Well, first off, it sounded like one of the most misfortunately named. Romans ever.
Like Lord of the Rings characters?
Smegma.
It really did. And like the way you said it.
Hail Smegmalus.
Yeah.
May his reign continue a million years. Smegmalus has come down from the mountain.
A2 Smegmalus.
A2. It was wonderful.
As he walks around in his sandals with his straps that go up to his knees.
Wow.
Smegmalus has...
I can tell he was here. You were in this room earlier, weren't you, Smegmalus?
He calls for his trusty steed. Sebum! Come here!
Sebum!
I'll work it out. Yeah,
Do you know what Smegma is?
Give me my phone.
You shouldn't have any on your phone. And if you do, then don't touch it.
It's kind of the stuff, you know, in the morning, that stuff by the side of your eye?
I think I know where this is going.
I mean, it's your stuff, not the guy's stuff. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like kind of that stuff.
That's it.
Well, if you have not the stuff in the side of the eye.
But no, well, I get where you guys are, the direction of this conversation.
Because there's a foreskin, it's kind of like a to-go bag.
Oh, great. Okay, good to know. Thank you so much. I can't wait to tell my mom that. I was like,
doesn't your mom listen to the show?
My mom does not. She's traveling right now, unfortunately.
That's why you're able to talk about your sister's anal.
Probably. Mm-hmm. Probably. My sister's in porn, by the way. Lesbian porn.
Is she really?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah. It's true. Well, I'm assuming it's true.
I watch lesbian porn. What is her name?
I'm not just going to give you my sister's name. Okay? You have to put some work
I
into it.
I found the line.
It's like I wanted to tap into your bank account, I wouldn't just ask you for the password. I'd be like, hey, I'm going to hack this shit, and I'm going to find it out.
But your sister's obviously...
It's clearly out there, I know, but...
It's clearly out there. Does she have a stage name?
She does.
Tell me your stage name.
Spinzer.
What? Spinzer. Hey, everybody!
She was in Playboy, now she's playing with a girl. Jade, stage four, Jade.
It's Spencer Scott.
Mm-hmm. Spencer Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that her?
Yeah.
That's your sister?
That's my sister.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
Howie, you like lesbian porn?
I do. I don't like, I talked to you when you were on the Love Line. I can't watch regular, I only like lesbian porn.
Yeah, you think about your son's breasts gone wrong.
No, because I have no interest. If you want to see porn,
yeah.
I have no interest in seeing a dick.
I don't normally defend the dick, but
you're
here
about
goes.
To.
But I'm about yeah. to. I don't think it makes me any less a man that I like to see a man's honker involved.
You like to see it.
I like, it's part of the package. Yeah. For me. Do you know what I mean? So it's like the parsley by the side of the porn plate. I'd miss it if it was gone. I don't really need it, but I'd miss it. And I know, I'm not judging you, Howard.
All right, well, thank you for that request at BCASPIC1, and appreciate the kind words you've had to say about this show. Now let's keep the clips rolling. This next one is from 2010. Cheech and Chong joined Adam in studio.
This is from Adam Carolla Show 305. It's from April 2010, aired on 420. Again, non-thematic. Adam actually gets a very unique telling of their comedy journey, how they formed. Let's check it out.
That's why we're worried about this legalizing marijuana. You know, because Cheech and I will be out of it.
Yeah, come on.
Well, it was obviously when you guys started, and I'm trying to think your story. You met in Canada, is that true?
Yeah. In Vancouver.
In Vancouver, and what year are we talking about?
69.
Perfect.
Good. I always remember that
and
number.
You're both from where?
I'm from L.A.
And I'm from
and
Vancouver.
He's Canadian.
And you go out to Vancouver to do comedy.
No, I was...
Music.
Dodge the Draft.
Dodge the Draft. Oh,
among other things.
Get out of the out of the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
Ah.
They enlisted him under the Mexican Should Go to War First Act.
Sure.
Well, I was part of the draft resistance movement in college, and they started their... After us, you know, so I went. I was actually a potter. I was going to be a potter, make pottery, and I got a gig being apprenticed to this very famous guy in Canada, and two birds with one stone, and I went up there, and the FBI was after me, and they tried to draft me illegally. They changed my classification from 2S. I was already in school, and changed to 1A, and they tried to draft me. So I was in Canada. And I just didn't come back.
Why did they single you out that way?
Because I was part of the draft resistance movement.
You were a troublemaker.
I was a troublemaker. Yeah,
and
a brown troublemaker.
Troublemaker.
And you're making. Was it all about the potter's wheel, or did you do some slab pots and some coil pots and some pinch pots?
Yes, for housewives.
What? I was a ceramics major in high school. I know weathered feldspar when I see it.
There you go. I was a production potter. I worked for this guy. He was a very famous guy, and Ed Drahanchuk in Alberta, outside of Calgary.
And you would just sit on that wheel all day, like in Ghost?
150 cups.
He'd come up behind you and rub your nipples?
Oh.
No, so you'd sit there like he'd go, I've designed this cup, and I want you to make me this cup.
That's exactly how it went.
So it's like... A famous designer, a potter designer, wouldn't be much different than a gown designer, which is, I've designed this gown, but I'll be goddamn if I'm going to make enough of them to fill up the store.
Well, he was doing all these bigger things, you know, bigger projects, and he had this whole production line. And so I'd have to get up in the morning. This is in the foothills of the Rockies. It was where Bragg Creek, Alberta. It was like
where I originally grew up.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'd have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and walk up to this thing, and it was dark and it was cold, it was freezing, and learn how to throw his line before he woke up. because then when he woke up, he'd get on the wheel and he'd been doing.
And his line, meaning his line of,
you know, cups
or
plates,
whatever,
saucers, anything.
Great stuff.
Yeah. And he would sort of go, look, here's how I do it, and you have to mimic that so you can't tell mine
exactly
from yours.
Yeah, I throw off the hump. You know,
right.
I had like he'd get as much as you could center by 100 pounds of clay or 150 pounds of clay. And this is a technique called, well, you know, throwing off the hump. We just, you center the top, just make a cup, off right of the string, boom. And I just kept having to practice that until I could get his. And mm-hmm. he would sit there with me, okay, this is the move. Boom, 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 boom. Done.
I feel like they sold more potter's wheels back in the day. I feel like every third house either had a potter's wheel or someone was announcing they're getting one.
Yeah.
Now, not so much. I don't hear the potter wheel talk anymore.
No.
We're not into doing shit.
It was in the hippie days, you know, when you're back to the earth, because, you know, you might need it, you know.
They were really into it. And then I'm guessing he had a kiln or two.
Yeah.
You throw it
big,
in there.
Yeah, he had a big kiln.
Glaze it up.
Big honeycomb.
Did you throw? Now, did you throw yourself a bong on that thing?
No,
that's
I was very pure during those days. I didn't smoke any dope.
It's like a Mooney.
I meditated. I was in very
really?
Meditation. Yeah, and we lived in the middle of nowhere, man. It was like I saw like 50 people in the year.
And so at this point, you're living in Canada. The FBI, you're on their list.
Yeah.
But they can't do anything to you as long as you're in Canada.
Nah.
But if you do come across to the States...
Yeah.
Somebody may be waiting for you.
So when I eventually left that, and I want to get back into show business, so I made my way to Vancouver with some friends. And I, very quickly when I got there, I ran into Tommy because he was running a, he had started an improvisational theater company in a topless bar that his family and he and his family owned. So it became Topless Improv. And
wow.
So I said, I could do that.
Sure. Yeah.
That sounds, well, let me see the, I could do that.
And we're looking for a straight guy because I changed it from a strip joint into a theater room. Mm-hmm. And we had a straight guy. I had another partner named Dave in long hair. We were both had long hair then. And then we had a guy named Rick Lenz who was, we needed a guy to play cops because
right.
we always had to have a cop in there.
Sure.
And Rick's wife found out what he was doing with the naked chicks, and so
right.
she
took him by the on that.
Yeah, she literally took him by the ear and led him out of there. And so I was looking for a straight man, and a mutual friend of ours suggested Cheech.
And your friend was like, "This guy's the fucking funniest potter." I know most potters are hysterical.
He wasn't doing pot sand. He was delivering carpets and working in a what do you call those underground newspapers?
Mm-hmm.
He was a writer for an underground newspaper.
So now you guys pair up. What year is it now?
69. And when I met Cheech, and I looked at him, and he looked at me, and we kind of looked. It was like little doggy bit where we sniffed each other's
butt. We both had the same thought. What the fuck are you?
Yeah. And then. And so Cheech, I invited him down to the club, and so Cheech shows up. That was on a Saturday night. I think it was Saturday mm-hmm. night. He showed up with the most gorgeous woman I'd seen in a long time. I mean, this is really beautiful. Long, full-length mink coat, you know, just money. She just, mm-hmm. you just looked at her and said, and she's with Cheech. And so I didn't even look at Cheech. I looked at her and I said, "He's hired."
Right.
Well, if the guy doesn't work out, maybe the girl will.
So no, I judge men by their women. You know,
sure, why not?
It's easy. You know, you look at a hot chick, and then no matter what the guy looks like, he's got something going. You know,
whether it's money or just something in the eyes or
brain,
sense of humor. Talk. Either way,
and that's what he had.
If he can fool her, he can fool the audience.
Yeah, exactly.
And so Cheech joined up. And then the group broke up 9 months later, as all groups do.
Sure.
And Cheech was the only one that wanted to keep doing the show business.
Yeah. And so you guys started honing your act at that point.
Yeah. Well, we had to come back to L.A. We had a choice to go to L.A. or New York. New York, fuck it. It was cold.
Right.
L.A. I knew, but I was wanted by the FBI, so I got a phony ID and snuck back into the States.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's the only Mexican that got snuck in from Canada.
Yeah, it's interesting, yeah.
So we came down here, and he was a fugitive while we were down here playing all the little clubs around L.A.
Mostly black clubs.
Yeah, oh, really?
There was no comedy clubs then.
Yeah, it was before.
It was 70.
So there's like jazz clubs and things like that.
Black clubs, R&B clubs, Parisian Room, Maverick's Flat,
PJs,
Total Experience.
And would you guys get up and do your thing before a musical act or after a musical act?
Yeah.
And how was that crowd with what you were doing?
They were great.
Ooh. Well, at first, you know, especially the black clubs, you know, all the pimps and the whores, you know, the pimps would kind of turn their backs on us, you know, they had their hats on, turn their backs, ignore us, you know.
Right.
But then a couple of minutes into our act, the girls would be telling them, the pimps say, shut up, I want to hear this.
Right.
And then
turn back around.
Then next thing you know, we grab them because we knew, you know, I'd been with Motown and that, so we had a lot of material that we could lay on them.
You know. So you now were, what year are we talking about now?
70.
And so you guys are, you know, starting to click, you're finding your rhythm, you're doing your thing. And
starving.
Yeah.
Hustling.
But then the break hits.
Well, we're hustling. I'm getting moved out of places. Now I left my wife and I'm with my girlfriend. Well, actually, my wife kicked me out. Because
she both thought we were staying with her. I was sleeping on the couch.
Yeah, she married a musician. Now I'm a comedian.
Right.
Sleeping on her couch. Or she, with my
with
partner sleeping on her couch. So we both got booted out. I'm with my girlfriend now. Mm-hmm. And she's not working. She's too young, and so we're struggling, and I'm moving from, you know, the rent's up. Do I have to move out?
Right.
Move in with Cheech. He's living with it now. He found a girlfriend,
right.
So we all live with Cheech's girlfriend.
Until you burn the house down.
Yeah,
well, they had really
a little floor heater, a little trouble.
It was an accident.
Was it a space heater?
Yeah, a space heater.
A little too close to the drapes.
I'm sleeping on the couch, and the cushion fell into it.
Yeah,
and it started a fire, and I screamed, and Cheech comes running out naked.
The living room was on fire. Okay,
didn't it seem like a lot of people fell asleep smoking cigarettes or something about the bed? The mattress was where the fire started. Yeah. I don't hear about that anymore. No, why? What are people not smoking in bed anymore? Well, are there space heaters?
I don't think they smoke, and I think they got fire. Oh, they got. Fire alarms.
Every third news story was up. Some guy was smoking and fell asleep. And by the way, you got to be really tired to fall asleep while there's a cigarette in your mouth, don't you?
I don't think it was a cigarette.
Oh, junkie.
Oh, man, it was a joint.
It's a junkie nod.
Yeah, that's
the cigarette.
They never do that part. Like, they really need to go, this guy was totally fucked up, and this is why his trailer burnt down. The cigarette, that's just a sort of innocent victim in this whole mess.
Just a fuse.
Yeah, that dude. It was the guy was fucked up. That's why he did this.
Yeah, so we did all the clubs we could do. And we back in the day, we got paid for working. It wasn't just freebies. Yeah.
Right.
We did our share of freebies. But
even if it was only $10, $25.
For the most part, we got paid.
And would you get paid sort of, here's a flat rate at $20, or we'll give you $5 for every person that comes through the door?
We were the house comedians at PJ's when it opened up as the Uptown Black Club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was a gangster-owned club.
Mm-hmm.
So the gangsters, they would pack the club, and then they'd rob themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then we knew that, so we'd get paid in advance. We'd advance our money, and they liked us. Hey, you guys are funny here.
We opened up for every black act that came through: Martha and the Vandellas, The Whispers, Ray Charles, Little Anthony the Imperials,
The Whispers,
Edwin Starr, Ray Charles, everybody.
The band War, and then Edwin Starr sung about the war.
Absolutely,
everybody. So we had this whole black act. We were black for a little while, for a long time.
I imagine you would almost have to turn black at that point.
We started our career at the Red Fox Club.
Oh, really?
And Norma Miller was the MC, and she called us. Now the next act, the two guys, the real funny guy, Geek and Gank.
Hey, did you meet Red Fox?
I knew Red.
I knew Red from the beginning. I've heard some colorful stories about that man.
Probably all true.
He's probably the best. He was the best stand-up comedian I'd ever seen, and I'd seen, you know, Richard Pryor, everybody.
Really?
And I'd seen Red Fox. I seen him take a crowd up for an hour.
Right. Have them laugh until you hurt, myself included. And then bring them down where they're running out the door. They're leaving.
Really?
And then bring them back. When he brought them down, people were leaving. You know, he was doing these jokes that weren't, you know, just horrible. And these people were heading for the door. Red went to the door, opened the door like a preacher and said, "Thank you very much for coming. Thank you." And then he closed the door and went back on stage and then brought them all the way up again.
Yeah,
I've never seen that happen.
So in your mind, is a couple of guys who've worked with everybody and seen everybody, and not only that, but seen everyone in their prime.
Yeah,
because there is a difference between seeing an old Bill Cosby and a young Bill Cosby or whatever.
Yeah, definitely.
Old Bill Cosby just yells at black people to get their shit together. The new one would tell the old one would tell stories.
I've seen Bill and Larry King. Now that is a trip, man. Because they're both, you know, what? Who?
Yeah, I know. They're both on there the other night. I go, what? What do you want? I don't know. Where am I? I just shit myself.
Schenectady.
Bill, did you have bullies in your day? Bill, what?
Bulls of what?
Yeah. Yeah, we had bullies. And I lived in a day where your dad, if you come home and you're crying, your dad would take you back and stand there and you go beat up the bully.
Right. Well, you'd get bullied after. I'm sure Bill Cosby got his ass kicked wearing those horrible sweaters.
Yeah, there.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
Imagine you never wore those sweaters until after.
Oh, I see. I pictured him as like a 14-year-old Bill Cosby wearing those crazy sweaters.
The young Bill Cosby
sweaters.
Was so funny.
All right, and we're back. And if you want to hear that full episode with Cheech and Chong, Podcast One Premium, you get access to the entire back archive. We give you all the guest information and the month and the day it's released. You can use that to search. It's pretty easy. So if you ever want to hear these full shows, that's the best way to do it. And we have another clip for you. This one from Adam Carolla's show 1451, featuring John Mulaney, fan Matt Newcomb, who contributed several $1,000s to the patent troll defense, Allison Rosen and Brian Bishop. This is from November 10th, 2014, actually on my birthday, and it aired the following day. If you want to hear this full episode, again, Podcast One Premium. What do you remember about this episode, Chris?
Well, I remember John Mulaney being very cool. So this episode was the first episode we did once we got back from Sacramento. Well, once I got back from Sacramento. Adam didn't go. He missed his flight. It was a big ordeal, which Adam told on this particular episode, which we won't play that clip. We're going to play the clip of John joining them in studio. Now, John had a short-lived yet very highly marketed Fox comedy show called Mulaney, also starring Elliot Gould.
Yeah, and then they get into the interview with Elliot, basically asking John to give them an explanation for his co-star's behavior. They explain the origin of the Jane Goodall drop. So you get like a double clip within a clip. And then they actually get into Skip E. Lowe, who John was unfamiliar with and also worked with Martin Short. So this is a classic series of events in one clip. And I really love this episode, and we'll probably share that other story at a later date.
Yeah, but for now, enjoy one of my favorite comedic minds, John Mulaney, with one of my other favorite comedic minds, Adam Carolla. You cannot imagine how excited we are.
You cannot imagine how wrong you are.
That was Jane Goodall.
That was Jane.
I don't know what I was saying to her.
I think you were talking about monkeys. You're asking her about apes. You're like, do apes do this?
No, you said...
You were asking if she was good friends with her mother.
Yeah.
She had a good relationship with her mother.
You assumed she must have had a bad relationship with her mother if she wanted to take off and go to Africa.
In that case, I'll play this drop for myself.
You cannot imagine how wrong you are.
She has, like most people who work with primates, a wild sense of humor. Farcical, some would call it. Yeah, I suggested, you know, she said when I was 11, I wanted to go to Africa and live with the chimps. And I said, well, maybe you didn't have the greatest relationship with your mother. And she said,
you cannot imagine how wrong you are.
Oh, also, John Mulaney, we forgot that Elliot Gould is in John's show.
Yeah.
And we had a captivating evening with Elliot Gould. Now, how have you found it working with Elliot thus far?
I love working with Elliot.
And how did the, we found him to be combative, but not in a aggressive or angry way.
He had a sit-in on our show. He had a sit-in. like a protest.
Yes.
He was a guest on one of our live shows.
And then yes. He began sitting?
And he was aggressively monosyllabic, is how I would describe it.
Always. Mm-hmm. Always.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yes. Now,
but you must be an Elliot Gould fan. There was probably nothing combative going on, right?
Whoa.
No.
No, well, first off, there's nothing you can do to me that's, you know, right. I don't give a shit what you call me or what you do.
I don't care.
And when I'm doing the live show, I tell whoever's doing the live show, look, say as little or as much as you like. Uh-huh. We'll do the show. If you want to hang back, hang back. If you want to jump in, jump in. It's usually a way of me trying to say to them, don't put the pressure on yourself to come up here and do 90 minutes of stand-up.
Yeah.
Participate by all means. But if you don't have a zinger, then hang back. We'll fill the space. And that's what I tell them. But at a certain point, if they've not been included in the conversation for what feels like 12, 14 minutes, I'll want to turn to them and say, well, now what about you? How do you experience this? Or what do you know about this topic? And his answers were,
no.
That, and it made for a very bizarre,
right.
Albeit memorable.
Memorable.
But entertaining.
Yeah, sure. Elliot's, I would say, a deeply centered person with almost no, no desire to talk about things he doesn't want to talk about, right. Which would be interesting to interview. Right.
So.
Yeah, like, he didn't want to talk about the movie he was there to promote.
Cool. I find that really cool. I mean, I'm not saying it was like.
But
it was a chatty interview, but that's pretty cool to just have been in Hollywood so long that like you're there to talk about a movie you have no interest in talking
about. How is he on set?
Really, really cool. I've pumped him for a lot of stories about like Robert Altman and his, you know,
Barbara Streisand.
Yeah, and working with like Robert Blake, and he just has great stories. I mean, he worked so much. And was in so many things that I was a big fan of that I unashamedly will say, will you tell me about, you know, like Capricorn 1 or something?
No.
But he also, like, can be extremely stoic and quiet as well.
Who gives a shit?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I didn't sense any vitriol.
I can't imagine vitriol.
It was just sort of bizarre. I think I would file it under weird more than I would file it under angry. Yeah,
but right. I can absolutely see being like that at an older age. Just like, who gives a shit, you know? Like, I can't imagine wanting to promote anything. Yeah, exactly.
But then remember,
I look forward to the day that I can not ever
not
throw
contribute.
Off a podcast, not ever offend anyone, but also just, you know, publicly not give a shit.
But then remember, someone sent us a link to, or the actual, he was on a radio show doing a radio interview, and someone, remember the host asked him about his experience here, and he said what happened. And what was it he said? I think he said that he didn't like the way the show was going at the beginning. Yeah, he didn't want to participate.
So we're a negative, and he didn't want to participate. Basically.
Okay. What's the weird, you know, it's a weird, I don't know, John, how you look at it, but I was saying to somebody yesterday, we'll do these crowd, we're doing this crowdfunding thing, raising money for this independent film I shot. And one of the things was, I do stand up in your living room.
Yeah.
And you pay us $15,000 that goes toward the movie. And there's a part of me that's like, huh, okay, I got to go to the Palisades on a Saturday night with a bunch of people I don't know and awkwardly do stand up in their living room. On the other hand, I think to myself, if I paid someone $15,000 and they sort of sat in the corner with their arms crossed and they kind of had a vibe of don't talk to me and that kind of thing. Like,
or openly said, who gives a shit?
Or openly said,
who gives a shit?
I am, once I walk through that door, I am fucking all yours for the next 3 hours because you've made this commitment to me, I've made this commitment to you, and fuck it, I don't want to leave and have you go, well, he was an asshole, I wish we hadn't done that. Right. And I understand that part where you don't want to do it, you don't want to promote it, you don't want to ever, but once you step up on stage and take the microphone out of the stand, It's at that point you must put it all aside for the 87 minutes you shall be on stage, and then go back to wherever mode you want to go back to.
Yeah.
I think
I would
you
be
have
exact
that
same
mode,
way.
Right?
Yeah, I would be the exact same. I would stay longer in the Palisades than my commitment. And yes. I would want everyone to think I was like the nicest person.
And
in the world.
And I did, and ultimately, I just spit on the mic. Ultimately, I had a more enjoyable time by staying longer.
Yeah, by embracing it. Yeah,
getting drunker and having a better time with diving into it.
Yeah,
I'm going to fucking say hi to everybody.
Yeah,
and that's the way we did it. All right, shall we do a little news?
Yes, let's we should. That. But can we ask John Mulaney what it's like working with Martin Short?
Ooh.
He's like my favorite.
Oh yeah, you big fan. I was a crazy, crazy fan of his forever. It's nuts. He's like, just like lightning fast funny. Like, you know, people achieve a certain status and they're still funny, but like it's way softer. He is like as funny as anybody. Like the fastest comedy brain ever.
Is he? Yeah, I don't feel like I see him out and about like I do with a lot of comedians. Is he a little bit reclusive, or what is his temperament like?
I don't mean
reclusive in a negative way. I just mean not out into going into premiere out to premieres on Saturday.
Oh, right,
nights.
Right, like that. No, he has three beautiful children and has friends and cool life and goes between Canada and the United States and. Yeah, I mean, but he loves, like, show business, which is cool. Which is great for, like, getting, you know, like, just these people, like, you just want to hear every anecdote that they have. So he's, like, great like that. But, yeah, I don't think he's out at, like...
making like, the scene.
Yeah, I don't think he's out at,
with
like,
the Kardashians.
The Kardashians.
and is it surreal for you that guys, comedy idols, growing up, I mean, Elliot Gould... There's never been a time when there wasn't Elliot Gould,
right, yeah.
You know, in your
young like,
life.
It's like driving a Ferrari with really famous people in it that, you know, like, if any scrape I make, everyone notices. Yeah, it's both thrilling and also like, oh, my God, these people have done so much work.
Yeah, so you had to be a huge SNL fan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And SCTV.
And SCTV fan.
And Jiminy Glick was, like, my favorite. Like, I loved Jiminy Glick.
By the way, that is a brilliant... sort of underrated character, or I don't even know
Prime
to call
Prime
it underrated,
awesome.
Yeah. But his character is based. You guys sort of know what it's based on?
Actually, no.
I don't either. I know it sounds like I had an answer. No,
it's like Junket guys.
It's very, Gary, we're going to have a tough time here.
Oh, boy.
Okay. There was... it was funny because I used to do the Acme Theater over here, and we're just talking about Elliot Gould, and we did that show over at Amalfi, which is a restaurant of mine I own 10% of, next to the Acme Theater. And Mark Sweeney, the guy who owns the restaurant, used to do that character to me before Jiminy Glick. He was a, you know, not a basic cable. He was... local cable,
public access
kind of guy, a gray-haired guy. He had a black turtleneck, and he would sit and do those interviews, and he was very earnest, but he would fuck everything up. Like, he would go, you know, and he was sort of James Lipton, sort of before we knew who James Lipton was, and he'd say, you know, you working with, you know, the late, great John Wayne, that must have been an experience. And the person, I never worked with John Wayne. Oh, and he'd roll right into his next question. And we used to make fun of this guy, and we loved this guy. And I think, and now you're going to have to ask if that's Martin Short. Well, we're going to figure it out.
All right.
I will tell Gary, who looks horrified, here's the thing. He was on some billboards and some bus stops and things like that. Sweeney would know who he is, but we'll never get a hold of Sweeney in time. He always silver gray hair with a black turtleneck, looking deep in thought, and he did the one-on-one cable access interview. Access cable.
Was it Skip E. Lowe?
Skip E. Lowe.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank
Did
you.
Did you the say guy Skip E, like yep. initial?
E. For,
yeah, we'll throw a picture of him up. We'll do an
interview. Excellent interviewer.
Not Skippy Lowe. No. Yeah,
and
E-Low.
I think he's passed. We'll see if we can we'll see if we can come up with a little Skippy Lowe. First, DraftKings, baby. Oh.
He died just a month ago.
Really? All right.
September 2014, he died at age 85.
Well, I hope he was... now, not this picture. All right, blame Dawson. I need Skippy Lowe at his Skippy Lowiest.
At his height.
That would have been
Skippy
about
Lowe.
20 years ago with a black turtleneck sweater. But we'll see if we can find some clips or something like that. We'll see what he sounds like.
Whoa.
Now, do we have a clip of Skippy doing an interview? And we'll play a little clip of Skippy Lowe doing an interview.
Looks like Brother Theodore.
Oh, they're working on it? All right. Yeah, if you find his billboard ad, too,
it's
turtleneck. He was like very, tell me feet. More about this. And it was very.
I never ever saw Skippy Lowe.
He was a perfect storm of comedy because, like, he was a caricature that was well past Lipton in his earnestness when he would interview celebrities.
And he did local TV, but people would do it.
Here's funny you should mention that. Here's the subhead from his obituary in The Hollywood Reporter. He hosted a low-budget public access cable TV show based in L.A. for decades and somehow attracted the stars.
Thank you. By the way, even in death, they still must backhand you with the compliments. Right. Now that you're
somehow.
Dead,
yeah,
couldn't
yeah, yeah.
they just say attracted A-list celebrities or something?
Right.
The way celebrities work, I think, is this. If you get Harrison Ford to come in, then you can go ahead and get Steven Spielberg to come in because Harrison Ford came in.
Worked for Skippy would go, past guests include Harrison Ford.
Right.
Oh, well, if he did it.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to sit down with Skippy.
Look, if Harrison Ford can waste an hour and 40 minutes of his day talking to an insane person, then I guess, with nobody watching, then I guess I can
also,
as well.
No one will tell you not to do a TV show. Well, it does have an audience.
And in a world where everyone's asking the tough questions, you know, an hour of sunshine blown up your ass is kind of nice.
Look how dark. Look, black shirt, black leather chair, and black background.
It was
a floating head.
It was perfect. Milton Berle. All right. Let's see if we can hear a little Skippy with Milton Berle.
And now, here's your man of the half hour, Skippy Lowe.
Milton Berle, 78 years in show business.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, and I have the material to prove it, I'll tell you that.
Can't believe 78 years. You are the longest, I'm telling you, the longest.
No, not the longest.
No, you aren't?
No. Well, I started when I was 5 years old.
Right.
Others started as zygotes.
You believe anything, won't you?
I know I won't believe anything, but I do believe that you started with Charlie Chaplin.
No,
like
before that.
Really?
I was a boy model for ads. And if you do see...
I told you, everything he gets is wrong.
I don't think you're old enough to remember.
He's equally curious about the things he's wrong about.
That's right. And, when they said I was going to be on the program, they said, Skippy Lowe. I thought it was peanut butter Skippy Lowe cholesterol. I didn't know what it was. Anyway, no, I started as a...
Maybe he's lost his fastball. Milton has at this point.
He got to it, though. Me around to different places. Uh-huh. And I was kind of cute. And they said...
It's an all-black room with black chairs and
you,
silver hair.
A picture... of the Buster Brown boy with the shoes, with the little dog tag.
Right.
That's me.
You're kidding.
I was 5 years old.
Five.
And I have the piece of memorabilia in my home. It's up in my archives.
Movies. First film was with Charlie Chaplin?
Well, first picture I made was...
Oh, you say no.
With... Chaplin and Marie Dressler.
Oh, I got one.
If the audience remembers, one of the world's greatest comedians.
We all know her.
It was Chaplin's first long feature picture.
Right.
He had made two reelers like The Rink and Easy Street and all that. But this was called Tilly's Punctured Romance. Mm-hmm. And I was the kid in the picture with Chaplin. And in the picture, He was so bright, Chaplin. He was
Chaplin?
Brilliant, brilliant. As I look back now,
the first AD.
I see the film now. He was the opening of the picture.
awesome, is he?
Tell me about your romance. And Chaplin was walking down as the little tramp with the cane. Right.
If you find anything better, we'll listen to it. Hey,
oh, my God.
Skippy Lowe, this fan's fucking priceless, right?
Amazing.
No!
How his body language and you got to ask Marty if he's ever seen this guy, and if he says no, knee him in the groin and go, why not?
Well, I'm going to watch so many of these tonight. That's what I was thinking. I was like, I'm going to go home and watch so many Skippy Lowe's right now. Oh my gosh.
He's unbelievable.
No,
right?
No cards, by the way. Did you see that? Like, didn't even
he's
try.
A fountain of information. He doesn't need cards.
Information.
That's a crutch that guys like us use. Fucking awesome.
No.
All right. If you find any other A-lister with Skippy Lowe, I'm going to need to see it because he never disappoints. Now, this is sort of between the ferns or two ferns, right. But without the ferns, right? Just 40 minutes of Tony Curtis, and then we'll get to the next.
Okay.
I went to an acting school down in the neighborhood you just mentioned.
You did?
The New School of Social Research, the Piscata School of Acting, which was on Houston Street.
Right.
Not too far from Sammy's,
Bowery Follies.
Bowery Follies. Is that where you started?
I started there as a child.
Born and raised in Manhattan?
I came here as a child, but I went back. Yeah, I love New York.
I was born and raised in New York.
But you were born in the Bronx.
Just wearing a hat.
No, Manhattan.
They always say the Bronx.
I lived in the Bronx for about 6 months.
Is that what they say?
I was back in Manhattan, in Queens for a little while.
Your father was a tailor.
My father was a tailor from Hungary.
All right.
Tell me about the settlement. That was a settlement kind of a theater you did, didn't it? Wasn't it? Or
well, there was a Henry Street settlement.
That's
right. I did, but that was those adventures were only created by me to give me some other look at life.
Right.
Life was so insular living in New York City, born and raised there.
They're so tight
coming from
on
an immigrant
Skippy.
Family.
See
Hungarian
the
Jews,
in his nostrils.
Yes.
Very limited in its scope.
He's so leaned forward, he's in Tony's shot,
there was a performing oral on himself.
His hair is
one hand, I lived in this very charming Hungarian environment.
Right.
And then when I went out in the streets, it was a jungle. New York City was a jungle. So that combination.
Right.
Is what shaped me and made me be the person that I am.
Yes. But you got into the Navy. You went right to the Navy.
You got in.
How long were you in the Navy?
I was in the Navy 3 years. I went in when I was about 17. Never left Manhattan until that time.
Really?
Went practically around the world to Tokyo. Saw the signing of the peace treaty.
Uh-huh.
Came back to New York City when I went acting school for a year.
Uh-huh.
I used my GI Bill of Rights. Somebody from Universal, a guy named Bob Goldstein, saw a play called Golden Boy.
Right.
And the next thing I know, I'm here in California on my 22nd birthday.
On your 22nd, Universal signed you up.
7-year contract. Right.
Signed you up, 7 years.
I didn't have to kiss anybody, kiss anything, go with anybody. I just got in the movies.
But you worked the Catskills. Tell me about the Catskills. I want to know about that.
The Stanley Wolf Players.
All right.
Yes, that's what I want to know.
Yes, I want to know about that.
This guy's a fucking national treasure, isn't he?
Really? There's a pattern of he says what he thinks is a fact, then he immediately furrows his brow as if to say, did I get it wrong?
Right.
And then he waits.
Well, please ask Marty about this.
Yes, I have to know this now.
All right. Now, where the hell were we?
Andy Dick was arrested for grand theft on Friday night in Hollywood. Police have not revealed details. However, last week, a man accused Andy Dick of stealing his $1,000 necklace.
And there you have it, John Mulaney in studio. Now, we want to thank you for joining us on this journey through The Adam Carolla Show, the many years of The Adam Carolla Show. And I would like to remind you that if you enjoyed this, please check out Carolla Classics, the podcast, wherever you're hearing this podcast. Just search it out, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We've been getting a lot of really great ratings and kind
words. 6 stars, I heard.
If it was possible, we would have 6 stars, Gio. That's how great this show is.
They added one. You didn't hear.
And a reminder, if you want to submit a request, email us, classics@adamcarolla.com. Tweet us at Giovanni Giorgio or at Chris Loxamana and let us know what you want to hear on Corolla Classics. We've had a blast celebrating this Saturday with you. We'll see you tomorrow with a bonus show. Until then,
mahalo and get it on.
Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Cocoa Zing, and more. An extra large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.